Right now, across the North Texas region, there are tens of thousands of homeowners who are just sitting on the greatest accumulation of personal equity in American history.
Oh, absolutely. It's unprecedented.
Right. I mean, they have hundreds of thousands of dollars trapped right in the walls of their homes.
Just sitting there.
Yeah, just sitting there. And yet, they are absolutely paralyzed.
I mean,
completely terrified to touch it.
Terrified to move.
Exactly. Welcome to the Deep Dive, everyone. It is late March 2026.
Spring is officially springing.
It really is. Easter's right around the corner. And, you know, that marks that classic season of renewal of things coming back to life.
Right. The flowers are blooming.
Yeah. But the real estate market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, it feels like it's stuck in a deep, unyielding winter freeze.
It really does. It's bizarre.
It is. So today, we're unpacking this incredible, really comprehensive market analysis dossier we got from David Pete.
From Pete Realty, right.
Yes, Pete Realty. And our goal today isn't just to, you know, rattle off median home prices to you.
No, we really want to dig into the why.
Exactly. We are decoding the psychology of a frozen market. We're looking at the heavy macroeconomic forces pushing down on local dirt and the strategic escape routes that are opening up in places you might not expect.
Like Montague County.
Specifically Montague County. We're going to get deep into that.
What's fascinating here is how these documents just perfectly reveal the interception of these huge, scary global anxieties and the hyper-local boots-on-the-ground reality.
Oh, for sure. It blends the two so well.
It really does, because that tension, you know, between the trapped equity you mentioned and the total market paralysis, that is the defining economic paradox of 2026.
It really is the paradox of the year.
Right. And what we are looking at through David Pete's market analysis isn't a market that lacks capital, you know?
Right. The money is there.
Exactly. The money is there. It's a market that lacks velocity. The whole system is just clogged.
Like a massive traffic jam.
Yeah, exactly like that. We have these massive, slow-moving macroeconomic weather systems, interest rates, global supply chain fears, geopolitical instability.
All the scary headlines.
All of them. And they are bearing down on very specific hyper-local decisions. Like whether a family in Frisco decides to actually put a for sale sign in their yard this spring.
Which they mostly aren't doing.
Right. They just aren't. So let's jump straight into the mechanics of that clog, because we need to start with the exact numbers David Pete has laid out for us in this dossier.
The hard data.
The hard data. And this is as of March 20th, 2026. Because, I mean, the numbers are just staggering when you consider where you and I were sitting just a few years ago.
Oh, it's night and day.
Right. So in the DFW and North Central Texas region right now, a 30-year FHA fixed loan is carrying an average interest rate of 5.85 to 6.12%.
And that's just the base rate?
Exactly. When you look at the annual percentage rate, the APR, it is pushing up to 6.48 to 6.86%.
Wow.
Yeah. And on the conventional side, the 30-year conventional rate is 6.1 to 6.32%. With an APR of what? Like 6.28 to 6.39?
Yep. It's 0.28 to 6.39%.
Yeah.
So we are, without a doubt, firmly entrenched in the sixes.
We really are.
And Pete's analysis describes this resulting market condition with a very specific word. He calls it softness.
Yeah, softness. Okay, yeah. Let's unpack this, because softness is really the polite client-facing term, isn't it?
Oh, totally, is the nice way of putting it.
Right. In economic reality, it's structural gridlock. Because when rates definitively crossed that psychological 6% threshold and actually stayed there, it didn't just alter the monthly payment math for people.
Right. It wasn't just an extra $100 a month.
No, it fundamentally changed buyer behavior. I mean, we are talking about severe debt to income compression here.
Explain what you mean by that for someone listening.
Sure. So a buyer who easily qualified for a $600,000 home in 2021, they can barely qualify for a $400,000 home today.
Wow. That is a massive drop in purchasing power.
It is. And that's assuming their income has remained relatively static, which for most people it has.
Right. Salaries haven't doubled.
Exactly. So that compression means the buyer pool for any given property out there has shrunk dramatically.
Which leads to what we're seeing on the ground.
Exactly. Longer days on market, price cuts, and that overall soft feeling where the actual transaction volume just completely plummets.
Okay. I hear that. I look at those numbers, though, and I have to push back a little on the panic.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Because, I mean, if we zoom out historically, just hovering in the low to mid sixes isn't catastrophic, is it?
Well, historically speaking, no.
Right. If you bought a house in 1982, you were looking at 15, maybe 18% on a mortgage.
Which sounds insane now.
It does. By historical standards, 6% is practically the historical average.
Sure.
So why is a 6.5% rate causing total absolute gridlock today? Are we just spoiled?
Spoiled by what?
By the anomaly of that 2020 and 2021 zero interest rate environment. Like, do we just get too used to free money?
Well, it's not about being spoiled, really. It's about the underlying asset price relative to that rate.
Okay, break that down.
In 1982, sure, you might have paid 15% interest, but the principal you were borrowing against, the actual price of the house, was maybe two or three times the median household income.
Ah, I see. The houses were just way cheaper relative to what people made.
Exactly. Today, the median home price in many parts of the Dallas Metroplex is six, seven, or even eight times the median household income.
That is a huge multiple.
It is. So a 6.5% rate applied to a profoundly inflated principal, that creates a monthly payment that physically breaks the modern consumer's budget.
It just doesn't math out for the average family.
Right. It is the combination of peak pricing and elevated rates happening at the exact same time.
That makes perfect sense.
But more importantly, you are dealing with behavioral economics here, specifically loss aversion.
Okay, loss aversion, which brings us directly to the golden handcuffs phenomenon that David Peet outlined in the analysis.
Yes, the golden handcuffs.
This is the mechanism that has completely broken the traditional housing life cycle in DFW.
Completely shattered it.
I've been thinking about this, and it's like, okay, imagine you're holding a VIP ticket to a concert.
Okay, I'm at a concert.
But you don't really want to be at this concert anymore. You're tired, the band is playing their weird new stuff, and you just want to go home.
We've all been there.
Right. But you refuse to leave. Why? Because you've got the VIP ticket for an absolute steal, like a once-in-a-lifetime deal.
Oh,
and buying a ticket to a different show across town right now would cost you full premium price.
So you just stay.
Exactly. The psychology of losing that deal keeps you rooted to the spot, even if moving is what you actually need to do for your life.
That analogy isolates the exact friction point perfectly.
Right, because it's all about what you're giving up.
Yes, because the traditional housing life cycle relies entirely on the move-up buyer.
The cycle of life for real estate.
Right. You buy a starter home, you stay there 5 to 7 years, you build some equity, you sell it, and then you buy the four-bedroom house in the better school district.
And then 20 years later, you downsize. Yeah.
Exactly. But that cycle requires liquidity. It requires a willingness to trade debts.
Which nobody wants to do right now.
Nobody. Because right now, you have this massive cohort of property owners sitting on 3 or 4% mortgages from that refinancing boom of the early 2020s.
The golden handcuffs.
Yes. If they sell their current home to upgrade, they have to abandon that incredibly cheap debt and take on new debt at 6.8%.
Which is just painful to even think about.
Mathematically, trading a $3,000 monthly payment for a $6,000 monthly payment just to gain one extra bedroom, it makes absolutely no sense.
So they just stay put.
They stay put. They are handcuffed by their own excellent financing.
Wow. And the downstream effect of that is just total inventory starvation.
Right, because nobody is selling.
Right. If the move-up buyers don't sell their starter homes, the first-time buyers have literally nothing to buy.
The entire chain freezes.
But, you know, the Peet Realty analysis introduces another pressure point here that honestly surprised me for a local real estate update.
Oh, the geopolitical stuff.
Yeah. It points out that unrest in the Middle East is building a sense of paralysis among market buyers right here in North Texas.
It is a big factor, actually.
Really? Because my first instinct is to wonder if we are, you know, overstating the global impact on local dirt.
It sounds like a stretch at first glance.
Right. Like, does a buyer looking for a house in McKinney really pause their home search because of headlines out of the Middle East?
They do. And the mechanism is entirely logical when you actually look at the Texas economy.
Connect those dots for me.
While Dallas-Fort Worth is deeply, deeply integrated into the global energy sector.
Oh, of course. Oil and gas.
Exactly. Plus defense contracting and international logistics. So when there is severe geopolitical instability, particularly in the Middle East, the immediate ripple effect hits global supply chains and oil futures.
Which directly impacts DFW corporate jobs.
Yes. So for that buyer in McKinney, maybe their company's stock dips. Or there's internal talk of corporate restructuring because supply chain costs are skyrocketing.
Or inflation spikes again.
Right. Inflation expectations spike because energy costs are rising. And buying a home is essentially an expression of deep, 30-year confidence in your own personal microeconomy.
That is a great way to put it. You have to feel secure to sign a 30-year note.
Exactly. When the macroeconomy feels unstable, buyers experience profound psychological hesitation. They decide to hoard their cash and just wait.
They just think, let's just rent for another year and see how this plays out.
Yes, they step completely to the sidelines.
So the gridlock is really a pincer movement.
A pincer movement, yeah.
On one side, local homeowners refuse to sell because they refuse to surrender their 3% interest rates.
The sellers are frozen.
And on the other side, potential buyers are spooked by 6.8% APRs, skyrocketing home prices, and global geopolitical instability.
The buyers are frozen.
The market is essentially completely frozen. But this leads to the core question of the whole analysis.
Right, the what do we do now part.
Exactly. If you own property and life circumstances dictate that you absolutely must sell right now, I mean, a job relocation, a divorce, a growing family, what do you actually do?
Because life still happens.
Life happens. You can't control the Federal Reserve, and you sure can't control global unrest in the Middle East.
No, you can't, but you control the asset.
Okay.
And David Peet's strategy outlined in these documents relies entirely on anticipating the inevitable shift.
Because markets are cyclical.
Exactly. Markets are cyclical. The tension currently holding the market hostage, the golden handcuffs, the buyer hesitation, it is temporary. It's building pressure.
Like a dam.
Yes. The analysis uses that exact metaphor. Waiting for the dam to break.
I love that visual.
It works perfectly because right now demand isn't actually disappearing. It is just pooling up behind that dam.
Right. People still need houses.
People are still having children. They're getting married. They're retiring. They're relocating to Texas. The demographic pressure is building every single day.
And when a dam breaks, it doesn't just trickle.
No, it floods.
It's a violent, immediate rush of volume. So the analysis argues fiercely for proactive preparation over reactive scrambling.
Which is key.
It states that if you are considering selling, getting your property ready now is the ultimate strategic advantage.
You have to be ready before the water rushes in.
But what does that actually look like in practice? Because, you know, back in 2021, preparation just meant sticking a sign in the yard and waiting 45 minutes for 10 offers over asking price.
Right. You didn't even have to clean the house.
You literally didn't. So what does preparation mean in 2026?
Well, in a high interest soft market, the definition of a marketable home changes completely.
Okay. How so?
Think about the buyer we just described earlier. They are stretching their debt to income ratio to the absolute breaking point just to afford that monthly mortgage payment at 6.5%.
They are tapped out financially.
Completely tapped out.
Yeah.
Their cash reserves are depleted by the down payment and the closing costs. So they do not have an extra $40,000 in cash lying around to remodel a kitchen or replace an aging HVAC system or fix a sagging roof.
They just don't have the liquidity.
No. Therefore, they are demanding absolute perfection from the homes they do bid on. They are only bidding on homes that are completely turnkey and move-in ready.
Wow. That makes total sense, though. They're essentially financing the condition of the home into their 30-year mortgage.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the liquid cash to fix it themselves.
Exactly. They'd rather pay slightly more on the mortgage than have to write a check to a plumber on day one.
Right.
So for a seller, being proactive means auditing your property through the lens of a completely cash-strapped buyer.
You have to look at your own house and see what a terrified buyer sees.
Exactly. And this is where the mathematics of return on investment, or ROI, become incredibly unforgiving.
Oh, I bet.
The Peet analysis heavily emphasizes getting an expert estimation on which investments actually improve market value before you spend a single dime.
Which makes sense. They have over 10 years of experience, right?
Right. They know what actually moves the needle.
So let's talk about the math of that ROI during a soft market. Because I think a lot of sellers assume that any improvement raises the value of the home dollar for dollar.
And that is a very dangerous assumption.
Right. Like they think, if I put in a $60,000 custom outdoor kitchen while I'm waiting for the market to thaw, I can just add $60,000 to my asking price.
Right.
Right.
In this market. That logic will absolutely bankrupt a seller.
Really? Bankrupt them?
Yes. Because an outdoor kitchen is a discretionary luxury.
Okay.
A buyer who is stretching just to afford a 6.5% mortgage isn't going to pay a massive premium for a built-in pizza oven.
They just want the roof to not leak.
Exactly. That outdoor kitchen investment might yield a negative ROI. You spend 60 grand and it only adds 20 grand to your appraisal value.
Ouch.
You literally just set $40,000 on fire.
That is brutal.
It is. Conversely, replacing a 15-year-old roof or updating an obsolete electrical panel things that would cause a terrified buyer to back out after an inspection, those are the defensive investment.
Defensive investments, I like that term.
They yield a high ROI, not by adding luxury value, but by preserving your final sale price and preventing the deal from collapsing at the finish line.
It's the difference between offensive renovations and defensive renovations.
Exactly.
And the holding costs play into this too, right? Because if you miscalculate the ROI, overprice the home, and it just sits on the market for 4 months, the math gets really brutal.
Oh, the time value of money in real estate is critical.
Oh, so?
Every single month, a property sits unsold. The seller is paying property taxes, hazard insurance, maintenance, and potentially a mortgage.
Right. The meter is always running.
Always. And in North Texas, where property taxes are notoriously high, holding a vacant or unsold property for 6 months can eat tens of thousands of dollars right out of your final net profit.
Just evaporating your equity.
Yep. So proactive preparation. Doing the right renovations and pricing it correctly from day one based on hard data that minimizes those holding costs.
But how do you actually know the baseline of what your specific neighborhood supports?
You need the data.
Right. You can't just guess what buyers want, and you definitely can't rely on national headlines.
National news is useless for local real estate.
Which is why professional agents rely on the raw data feed. And the PEAT analysis brings up the local MLS system, and there's a detail here I absolutely have to highlight.
Oh, the pronunciation guide.
Yes. It is a brilliant sociological marker in this dossier. So the Dallas Metroplex MLS acronym is NTREIS.
Right.
But the documents explicitly instruct that this is pronounced net tries. And they specify that the last syllable rhymes with rust.
It's a shibboleth.
It totally is.
Real estate is intensely tribal and hyper-local.
Exactly. If you walk into a room of developers or agents in Dallas and mispronounce the primary data engine, you instantly out yourself as an outsider.
You're a tourist.
You're a tourist. It immediately damages your credibility. Getting the pronunciation right is your ticket to the inside conversation.
You have to speak the language.
But beyond the linguistics,
yeah.
What is the actual strategic value of the NetTraws data for a seller trying to navigate this crazy 2026 market?
Well, NetTrends represents the aggregation of every single transaction, every failure, every price reduction, and every concession in the entire region.
The ultimate truth machine.
Exactly. Information asymmetry used to be the real estate agent's primary leverage.
Right. They had the big book of listings and you didn't.
Right. But what David Peet is doing, according to the analysis, is taking that raw, complex data and translating it into specific, readable market reports.
Yes, the trends reports.
Right. There's a trends1.pdf, which covers the macro Dallas Metroplex view.
The big picture.
And then a trends2.pdf for the really granular county-by-county data. And these are just made freely available to the public on their website, peetrealty.com.
Which feels like a very deliberate shift in strategy to me.
How?
Well, by giving away the data for free, the agent transitions from being a gatekeeper of information to being an interpreter of information.
That's a great point. It builds tremendous trust.
Right. In an environment where buyers and sellers are deeply distrustful of the economy, transparency is everything.
Absolutely.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. When you actually interpret that trends data, when you look at the county-by-county heat maps, the analysis directs our focus almost entirely to one specific geographic target.
Montague County.
Yes, Montague County. The documents explicitly identify Montague as having high potential in the market.
And this is where the macroeconomics we discussed earlier directly impact the local dirt.
Yes. Why Montague County?
Well, think about it. If the core DFW market, you know, Dallas, Collin, Tarrant, Denton counties, if they're experiencing that gridlock and those massive affordability issues.
The pressure has to go somewhere.
Exactly. The sprawl of the Dallas Metroplex is legendary.
It never stops.
It never stops. As areas like Frisco, Prosper, and Salina have just completely filled up and their land values have skyrocketed out of reach for most people, the development boundary pushes relentlessly outward.
And if you look at the map, Montague County sits northwest of the dense urban core.
Right on the edge.
Right. It is past the immediate suburban ring. It's a totally different landscape out there.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about acreage, ranches, and much smaller rural communities.
Which is exactly why it represents an escape valve.
An escape valve?
Yes. The high potential label in the data signals a micro market bubble of demand. You essentially have two types of buyers driving this push into Montague.
Okay, who is the first type?
First, you have the remote or hybrid worker. They are just exhausted by the congestion of the DFW tollways.
The traffic is brutal.
And they realize they only actually need to commute into the city maybe twice a month.
They don't need to live in Frisco.
Exactly. So they are trading a $700,000 four-bedroom house on a tiny postage stamp lot in the suburbs for 10 acres and a custom build-out in Montague County.
That makes a lot of sense. The appeal of space.
The appeal of space is huge. And then second, you have the developers and the investors who know the path of progress.
The smart money.
Right. They are land banking. They know the infrastructure, the highways, the broadband internet. It's all pushing northwest. And they are trying to acquire that dirt before the massive institutional money arrives.
Wow. So if you are a listener who happens to own property, specifically raw land or maybe a ranch out in Montague County,
yeah,
and you hear that your area is targeted for high potential during a broader market stall,
it completely changes your calculus.
It has to. While sellers in the inner suburbs are trapped by those golden handcuffs, Montague sellers might actually be holding the winning lottery ticket.
They are uniquely positioned.
They're positioned to catch the wave of buyers fleeing the gridlock.
Yeah.
But selling 30 acres of raw land or an active cattle ranch is a profoundly different transaction than selling a townhouse in Plano.
Oh, the complexity scales exponentially.
It's not just square footage and a roof.
No, you aren't just selling a house. You are selling the carrying capacity of the soil, the water rights, the mineral rights.
All the agricultural tax exemptions?
Exactly, the ag exemptions.
And this links directly to the personal background of David Pete, which the documents detail pretty extensively.
Right, the boots on the ground aspect.
Because Pete Realty isn't just some faceless corporate algorithm scraping data.
No, they are a physical presence.
Very much so. They have a physical address on Cardinal Way in Aubrey, Texas, and a mailing address in Decatur.
And geometrically, that is very strategic.
It is. Geographically, Aubrey and Decatur sit exactly in the transitional zone between the suburban sprawl of Denton County and the rural expanses of places like Montague.
They are physically positioned at the gateway of this outward migration.
Right. And their slogan is real estate made real easy, which, you know, sounds great. But the credentials go far beyond their zip code and a catchy slogan.
Oh, the agricultural background.
Yes. The analysis notes their background in raising livestock. This is the part that really fascinated me.
It's a great detail.
The website copy states that David and his wife care for retired Tennessee Walkers.
Which are horses, for those who don't know.
Yes. Specifically, they are smooth-gaited riding horses. And these horses spent their years on the North Texas LBJ Grasslands Trail System.
Okay.
Furthermore, they raise British white cattle.
Now, that is incredibly specific.
Right. Now, an urban buyer might read that and just think, oh, that's a nice hobby. They like animals.
Sure.
But in the context of selling land in Montague County, that is a hardcore business credential, isn't it?
Oh, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it is the ultimate credential for agricultural real estate in Texas.
Okay, let's break down why that actually matters mechanically.
Well, in Texas, property taxes can be astronomical. We know this.
Yes, they are painful.
The primary way landowners survive out there is through agricultural valuation, which is commonly known as an ag exemption.
The golden ticket for landowners.
Exactly. It allows land to be taxed based on its agricultural productive value rather than its open market real estate value.
Which is a massive difference.
It's the difference between life and death for a ranch. This exemption can drop a property tax bill from $15,000 a year down to $500 a year.
That is a staggering difference. It fundamentally alters the affordability of the land.
It absolutely does. But maintaining that ag exemption requires strict adherence to county appraisal district rules.
Right. You can't just put one goat on 50 acres and call it a day.
No, you definitely cannot. There are strict rules regarding stocking rates, land use, and animal husbandry.
So if you mess it up.
If an urban buyer purchases 50 acres in Montague County and accidentally loses the ag exemption because their city real estate agent didn't understand the filing deadlines or the minimum herd sizes,
as a boy,
that buyer is suddenly hit with a catastrophic full market value tax bill. They could lose the property.
Wow. So when David Pete notes that he raises British white cattle, he isn't just sharing a fun fact.
Not at all. He is signaling to buyers and sellers, I understand the mechanics of the ag exemption. I understand stocking rates. I know exactly how many animal units this specific pasture can actually support.
I want to build on that
yeah.
because the specific mention of the LBJ Grasslands and the Tennessee Walkers is equally strategic.
How so?
Well, the LBJ Grasslands is a massive expanse of federally managed land in North Texas, and it's highly prized by equestrians.
Right. Lots of trails.
Lots of trails. If you have an agent who has actually ridden those trails for years, they know the specific access points. They know the soil composition, like whether it's sandy loam that's good for horses or blackland prairie clay that just holds water and turns to mud.
That's real hyper-local knowledge.
Exactly. They know which adjacent properties carry a premium simply because of direct trail access.
It shifts the agent from being a salesperson to being a true land consultant.
Which is what you need when you're buying dirt.
Exactly. The documents emphasize that Pete Realty aims to be a trusted partner through the behind-the-scenes complexities of a transaction.
Not just someone opening a door.
Right. Because a city agent looks at a 50-acre parcel and just sees an empty polygon on Google Maps.
A blank space.
But an agent who raises cattle looks at that exact same parcel and sees the drainage patterns, the quality of the fencing, the depth of the water well, and the carrying capacity of the native grasses.
It's the difference between reading a menu and actually being the chef.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Right. Because if I'm a buyer migrating from the concrete gridlock of the Metroplex, and I'm terrified of making a mistake with my life savings.
Which you should be.
The psychological comfort of having a guide who fluently speaks the language of the dirt is just immeasurable.
It is invaluable.
And on the flip side, if I'm a seller whose family has run cattle on that land for three generations, I am absolutely not handing the lifting to an agent who doesn't know the difference between a steer and a heifer.
No, they would laugh you off the porch.
I want someone who respects the operational value of what we've built.
Exactly. And this brings us full circle to the concept of preparation that we talked about earlier.
Right. Getting ready for the dam to break.
The high potential of Montague County is very real. But capturing that potential requires executing a highly technical transaction.
In a very difficult macro environment.
Yes, an environment defined by 6.8% APRs and deep buyer hesitation. The dam is going to break eventually, but you have to have the right infrastructure in place to actually capture the water.
So what does this all mean? Let's synthesize everything we've decoded today from the Pete Realty analysis.
Let's do it.
The spring 2026 market is defined by a tense, heavy gridlock.
Nay tense.
The golden handcuffs are keeping inventory artificially low, and high rates combined with global uncertainty in places like the Middle East are keeping buyers completely on the sidelines.
It's a frozen pond.
But underneath that frozen surface, the demographic pressure is building.
The water is still flowing underneath.
Right. So the move is not to panic, and the move is certainly not to passively wait.
Passivity will cost you money.
The strategy is extreme. Calculated preparation.
Be proactive.
It's analyzing that NetTraz data to understand exactly what defensive renovations yield a positive ROI, pricing the asset perfectly to avoid carrying costs, and recognizing the massive geographical shifts in demand.
Like the push to the Northwest.
Specifically, that escape valve migration toward the acreage and agricultural opportunities of Montague County.
Which is where the real potential lies right now.
And most importantly, executing that strategy requires hyper-local fluency. As the market becomes more financially strained, the margin for error just completely disappears.
It's zero. You cannot afford to miscalculate an ag exemption or guess on a property's appraisal value in this market.
Which means partnering with professionals who have literal boots on the ground, who understand the macroeconomic data, but also know how to manage a herd of British whites.
Right.
That is the critical advantage in 2026.
It really is. You know, before we close, the analysis of this market leaves us with a fascinating, almost philosophical tension to consider.
Oh, I like a good philosophical tension. What is it?
Well, we've spent all this time today discussing how a buyer in North Texas might delay purchasing a family home because of geopolitical unrest in the Middle East.
Right.
While simultaneously they are seeking refuge in the deep rural agricultural roots of Montague County.
The contrast is wild.
It is. It begs a profound question for you to consider. In our highly globalized, hyper-connected world, is there really any such thing as a strictly local real estate market anymore?
Wow.
Or is the value of the quietest, most isolated pasture in rural Texas now permanently tethered to the chaotic headlines flashing across the globe?
That is a brilliant tension to leave on. The global macro economy dictating the value of the local dirt beneath our boots.
It's something to think about.
It really is. Thank you all for joining us on this deep dive into the underlying mechanics of the 2026 real estate landscape.
It's been a great discussion.
Keep questioning the data, keep looking past the surface of the market, and keep exploring. We will catch you on the next deep dive.